In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just after Jesus came down from the mountain where he had preached that Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes and all of the teachings and all of the people followed him, this centurion comes to him. There's no question that he has heard these teachings. There's no question that he has seen Jesus heal a man. Just after they came down the mountain, Jesus heals a leper immediately there on the spot. And so this centurion has heard the teachings. He has seen Christ. He waits and stands aside. He doesn't come up to him immediately. He very humbly waits until almost everyone else has left. He's come into the city of Capernaum right after the Sermon on the Mount. And St. Luke says that before actually coming to Jesus directly, the centurion first sends Jewish elders to speak to him on his behalf, to intercede for him and find out if it's okay if he comes and talks to him. We didn't hear that this morning, but this story of the centurion is told both in the Gospel according to St. Matthew that we read from today and in the Gospel according to St. Luke. So after having asked someone to go and find out, is it okay if I approach him? He comes to Jesus and tells him that his servant is very ill and is suffering. And Jesus says, I will come to your home. But the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy that you come to my home. But I understand how things are in the world and the universe when it comes to authority and power. I myself am part of that organization of the Roman Empire. And as a centurion, I understand that the authority that I have is the authority that comes not from me, but from Rome and from the way the world is meant to be. And somehow this centurion has come to understand a great deal more than many of the Hebrews, many of the people of Israel who follow Jesus. Because the ultimate authority in the mind of the centurion is not the emperor in Rome who has authority over the empire, the political system, the laws, and the army. There is a higher authority, and he has just now sought audience to speak to that highest authority, where he, the centurion, can tell someone to go and to do something, and it gets done. He knows that this one, Jesus the Christ, can order death to not take us over. He can order suffering to depart, and it goes just the way he himself, as a soldier, can tell someone to go and to do some task that needs to be done. This one that he has heard, this one that he has seen, this one is the ruler of all things, the Pantocrator. You know, that wonderful icon that you often see in the center of an Orthodox church, high up in the dome. There is Jesus, the Christ, the ruler of the universe. This ruler of the universe, Christ God, God incarnate, the incarnate Son of God, he doesn't rule with the kind of force that the emperor of Rome depends on. And yet he has absolute and complete authority over all things. Things are in the world as they are, not in order to make things as good as they possibly can for us from a worldly point of view, where we would like to have possessions and things of the world, but they are ordered so that we can have the maximum amount of free participation in the holiness and the goodness of God Himself. So there's a difference between the authority of power in this world and the ultimate authority that is God Himself and Jesus Christ incarnate, who stands before this centurion. But nevertheless, this man can recognize the ultimate authority in the universe when he sees him. And Jesus says to the man, I have not seen this kind of faith even in Israel, even among those who have been prepared from the beginning. Because that's what Genesis is about, you know. It's not a early science book that we have to defend as an early science book, because it's the real science book. Genesis says, in the beginning, it's going to talk about how things got to be the way they are, morally and spiritually in the world, what is wrong with the world, and what God did about it. That's what Genesis is about. But today we're all caught up in this idea of facts and science and the world is ours and we have power and independence. And, you know, when we read the Bible, we don't even understand what it's all about. But that's what it's about. And from the beginning, God has exercised that kind of power and authority over all things, bringing them together so that we can have the freedom to live as He lives, a good and holy life in a strength that comes from Him. If we had the kind of faith that the centurion had, our temptations, our inner passions would have no power over us. Because that's what we should be concerned about, you know. We shouldn't be, as we always are, concerned about how things are going for us in the world outside. Our situation shouldn't be such that when we go to pray to God, we pray constantly for the things of this world, misunderstanding our role and calling in life as though it were a calling to try to establish ourselves as some kind of empire of me. And I need help in order to be able to do that. I need power and control over the external world. And the reality is that what we need power and authority and control over is the world within. The problem is the darkness within. When Jesus turns from the centurion to the people of Israel, who don't have any faith in Him or in His Father, He tells them that in the end, those who are not worthy of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their faith will be cast into the outer darkness. There's the outer darkness, the darkness outside of God. You know, I hear people who are not Orthodox who are surprised at the Orthodox understanding of hell as not being in the presence of God, and heaven as being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of Christ, being at one with Christ in the presence of God, that's heaven. And the opposite is to be in the outer darkness. In the Old Testament, the understanding was that after you die, you're not able to praise God. You're not able to join with all of the others, the members of God's holy people, and praise God. There's an understanding there that not to be in the presence of God, to be in the outer darkness, that's hell. That's punishment. But there is an inner darkness as well as an outer darkness. And the inner darkness is a darkness within us where all there is us. God is not present there. And if that's the case, then we are not able to be the person that we must be. Life is all about being able to live and act as the person that God has created you to be. And if there is inside of you darkness rather than the presence of God, you are not going to be able to live that life that you are given to live. You're going to feel that emptiness, and you're going to desire the things of the world, to try to build things up outside of yourself to make up for the fact that there is an emptiness, a darkness within you. And you know, it's not about what you believe in your head. It's about your faith in your heart. The centurion's faith is absolute. He knows that Jesus can say the word and his servant will be healed. When we approach God, too often, as Metropolitan Anthony says, we approach him as faithless, unsure beggars. Please, God, give me this. Show me that you're there. Show me that you can give me the things that I need out in the world. We approach him, Metropolitan Anthony says, as beggars. Beggars for reassurance. And I can relate to that in one particular sense when I think of what my faith was like when I was a child. There was a time as an elementary school child when I had the best teacher I had ever had. And this extends beyond, this was a fifth grade teacher. His name was Mr. Flieger. I'd never had a male teacher before. You know, boys go to school and there's women everywhere. They're all in control, they're all in authority. You feel really out. The girls are all better at fitting into all that. And then suddenly we had this man, Mr. Flieger. He would take us out for recess and say, the rest of the day, we're going to play a game of soccer in the snow. And that's what we did the rest of the day, hours in the snow, soccer outside. He taught us gymnastics. His class was able to perform gymnastics, you know, in the fifth grade kids. We'd have the mats down on the floor and the kids down on their hands and knees, a half a dozen of them, and somebody would come up. We would come up, the whole class, one after another. He was teaching us confidence and strength and assurance that paid dividends in the classroom. And we would run up to the edge of the stage and jump off and land on the other side of those kids that were down there on the mat and do a roll and stand up. Every person in the class did that. That was Mr. Flieger. And you know what? Most of the math I know, I learned from Mr. Flieger in fifth grade. If I'd had him for algebra, who knows what my life would be like? Completely different. So we heard Mr. Flieger is going to teach sixth grade next year. I prayed that summer. I found out what it was like to pray for something that you really desperately wanted. And it was during that time that I was concerned. I was exactly as Metropolitan Anthony describes. Uncertain, begging, you know, please, but uncertain. And I remember one night, there was a stormy night, and there was thunder and all of that, and I said, maybe this is an opportunity to communicate more directly. God, if you're really there, bang three times. Who knows, you could interpret it however you please. But one thing was clear. When the fall came, I didn't get Mr. Flieger. And that was the end of that kind of faith. But that's not what it's about. God did not expect us to live our lives in that kind of way. Metropolitan Anthony says that God has made it possible for us to live a mature faith, a faith as mature Christians. How did he make that possible? He destroyed the power of death over us. He is the Lord of the universe. There is no question, as the centurion understands, that as Christians who have been brought into his life to share that life, our passions and temptations cannot stand against us. They cannot. There are no interior enemies that Christ has not already overcome. We can stand in the confidence of the centurion in our own hearts with faith in God, not as beggars, please give me this, but as those who know that our lives are united to his and that we are intended to rule over our passions and desires. And there is this other thing. We ought never to pretend an awe of our temptations in order to free us from God. We pretend that we are so afraid of these powerful temptations within us. We're not responsible. It's a lie. It's a lie to ourselves and to God. God has absolute authority over the universe. He has conquered sin and suffering and death. And we have been joined to him, baptized into his life. And now we turn around and pretend that God has nothing to do with us, that we're on our own. Please give me this. Please give me that. We have to be beggars. He's called us friends. He's called us sons. He's called us his children, his daughters in Christ. He expects us to live with the maturity that he has made it possible for us to live in the world. And he knows when we're lying to him and to ourselves. God has given us all of the necessary training, just like in the military. You go and you don't know what you can do, and they give you this training, and come to find out without even thinking about it, you're able to do things like Mr. Flieger showed us in fifth grade that we could do, jump off of the stage, over people, roll on the floor, and every person can do it. And that's the way it is in the military. Every person can do it. Unless there's something missing inside, some kind of lack of moral fiber, it doesn't have anything to do with your body. Some lie that you tell yourself that you can't do it. God has given us all that is necessary. He has destroyed the power of death. He has brought us into his life. And now he expects us to go and to live in the world in a way that translates who we are into his presence in the world. Now, we can't do that if we're at the mercy of temptations and fears that are not anywhere near so great and threatening that they stand a chance of not being just wiped out by the presence of Christ in us. And yet we build them up and act like they are just massive. There's nothing I can do. I tried. You gave me the talents, but I hid them. I wasn't able to go out and to live the kind of life that you said that I should be able to live. You're a hard master, I know, but I buried that talent. I knew it. You gave it to me, but I didn't use it. I didn't use your strength, your courage, your truth. I didn't use them in the world. Instead, I went out and I lived life as a pauper, as a beggar, as though I were someone who had nothing that had been given to me from God. Depart from me. You have nothing to do with me. You think you can be so obedient in this cowering kind of way, lying about what it's possible for a human being that I have created to be able to do? I know that you can do these things. And I know that you're misrepresenting reality. That's how we live our lives as Christians. We have to remind ourselves to abandon this faithless, cowering kind of false image of the Christian life that has nothing to do with reality. St. Paul says, gird the loins of your mind. Gird the loins of the way you think. Get ready for battle. Put a strong belt around yourself and tighten it so that you can feel the courage and strength that we have at one with God in Christ. And the passions and the desires that push us around in our lives can't stand up against the presence of Christ in us. Metropolitan Anthony says that we should listen to Christ and go into the world and realize that with the face of Christ in our heart, the demons will flee in front of us. We are free to live a life as holy, as pure, as good, as beautiful, and as magnificent as the life of any of the saints. And even if we only do that a little bit, even if we simply acquit ourselves well as a member of the great host of Christians from down through the ages, with all of our brothers and sisters in arms against the forces and powers of evil in the world, we will have done our part. We will fulfill who God created us to be. And so let us challenge ourselves to recognize that the faith of the centurion, based on the recognition that God is the Lord and has authority over all of the universe, if it is a true faith, instills in us the courage to live our lives in the world without fear and with faith and confidence and peace and assurance in the power of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.